Hey, it's Tariq Ali. A little birdie told me that you wish there was more frequent uploads to help you in your healing journey and that you didn't have to wait months for the next podcast episode. Well, now you don't have to. Check the description to find out how you can leap into healing, the subscriber edition of this podcast where you will get weekly episodes. Yep, you heard me. Weekly episodes. These exclusive subscriber-only episodes will include tools and tangible practices and methods I've come up with to help you heal and grow, reviews of the main show episodes for messages you may have missed, and even more bonus episodes like affirmations, mindset shifts, and Ask Tariq. Check out the description so you can find out more and start leaping into healing today. What's up? It's your boy Tariq Ali, and welcome to the very first episode of That Conversation. For the past 7 years, I have always prefaced my talks with, I never come to be right, I come to start the conversation. I've just always wanted to have those honest and real and vulnerable conversations that not only help us grow in every aspect of our life, but destigmatize topics that usually come with a lot of shame. It just usually always starts with a conversation. A hard conversation, an uncomfortable conversation, just that conversation that's needed to happen. So that's what we're going to be doing here, having that conversation. This first episode was supposed to be about the fear of starting something new and how it's never a good time to start something new because it is going to be a little uncomfortable. You have to take some risk. But when I came to talk about that fear of starting new, I had the fear of starting the new thing. And so instead of going on my outline and giving the talk I plan to give, I was like, what if I just sit here and have a stream of consciousness and just be vulnerable and transparent and share what's going on inside of me so we can get to the bottom of that anxiety? And we're going to talk about, you know, my fear of starting something new and how it was rooted in my fear of not being accepted and not feeling value within myself because of how I was treated in my childhood, you know, being juggled through homes, homelessness, my queerness. We're going to get really honest. We're going to get really real. I'm going to share some of my experience and tell you how my mind was working in this process and how I came back to self and how I comforted myself and made space for myself. You're going to witness it all here. This is That Conversation. I thank you for listening, and I'm excited to go on this journey with you. Stay tuned. I get so nervous when I think about starting this podcast. I have so much anxiety right now. And the thing is, I've already recorded so many episodes for this podcast, but those episodes that I recorded were not the first one. You know, I knew those were going to be episodes like, oh, this may be episode 3 or 4, whatever. But I never sat down and recorded or did anything for the first episode of the podcast because I was just expecting it. I wanted it to be perfect, honestly. And what I want to do right now, I didn't even write an outline for this. I didn't even write an outline. What I want to do right now is I want to get to the bottom of that anxiety. And I think I have an idea of what it's coming from or where it's coming from. And I want to just share my stream of consciousness because I have to remind myself who I am, my purpose, and my talents. A lot of you guys know me already. A lot of you don't. But I am known for articulating those feelings inside of us that a lot of people have a hard time at grasping. I put things into words that some people are like, wow, I never could explain it, but you put it in perfect words. I help identify the demons, but not only that, I help us all work through those demons, and I want to do that right now. And I kind of forgot my own power. It's so crazy, right? How that when we get more success, we forget how powerful we are because we think that the success that we got is tied to what we've done and not who we are. And I think that's what happened with me. When I think about this podcast and I think about what it represents for me, I've always wanted to do podcasting only because what I did on my YouTube channel for years, having the conversation, coming up and talking about shameful things, you know, things people call shameful or view as shameful, you know, social injustice from, you know, racism, homophobia, sexism, misogyny, just all of the things that I've always talked about on my channel. These were things that I was talking about in real life. I literally was having these conversations every single day. It was what I was passionate about. I started a nonprofit when I was 15 because I was passionate about it. I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to fight for it. I wanted to help more people. I wanted to make more people feel comfortable. I was having these conversations in person, and yeah, I just had the idea of like, this could help so many people. Like, I would be like, there's only four people in this room and we just changed our lives, or just in the way that we communicated and we talked about this. What if I could, you know, share this with the world and this could touch a lot of people that aren't here? And so I just started doing that. And what happened was a lot of people resonated with me, and I knew that, and I knew it was connection. And I knew this was the same feeling that I had when I was in person having these conversations. But the difference was a lot of success, money, and a lot of things came with it. I think what happened for me is that I knew when I got on camera and I gave my take, or I gave my opinion, or I talked about a traumatic experience and how I came out of it and what my mind did in that process, and it touched so many people. People, you know, knew that, oh, dang, Tariq just posted a video. Let me go ahead and get my piece of paper, my wine, and let me see what I got to work on, you know. And I think that I knew this is what I wanted. You know, I wanted us to come together and have these conversations. But I think it became a lot of pressure for me, because the perfectionism in me from my childhood trauma, I viewed it as, wow, every single time I sit down now, I have to say something revolutionary. Every single time that I post a video, it has to be monumental. It has to be perfect. It has to be better than the last time. And the reason that I think this happened is because, honestly, throughout my life, I feel like I always had to do something or provide something in order to receive love. And what I mean by that, it's so many different examples. Therapy has helped me realize this, but when you just think about my queerness, let's start there, right? Growing up, my family, I will say, I've always been feminine. I always liked quote-unquote girly things. I wanted to be with the girls. And my family's very Southern, African-American, Black, traditional. So it's very like, if we're spending the night at my grandma's house, the girls sleep in this room, the boys in that room. And it doesn't mix, even though we're siblings, even, you know, like very that. So there was a lot of separation of the girls and the boys, at church, at home, just everywhere. And that made me feel extremely uncomfortable. And whenever I, you know, tried to stray away and go with the girls or just hang out with them, you know, I was made fun of, or I was told, Tariq, you can't do that. You're a boy, you know? And I just was disapproved. And that, to me as a child, I wasn't being a rebel. I wasn't trying to be a girl. I wasn't trying to be gay. I wasn't trying to be anything but myself. I was just showing up as who I was. This is before socialization in society and the world tells you what you are is not okay, right? These were those ages. Like when I'm just waking up and being me, and then I keep getting this response. And then at some point my mind starts saying, oh, I can't do that if I want to get love from you. And so I started doing the things that I knew would get me praise, love, acceptance. You know, my dad wanted me to play all these sports. And it's so funny because all my life I've been queer, you know, and like everybody knew Tariq was going to be gay. You know what I mean? Like I was one of those kids. Okay, I used to Barbie girl. I was a Barbie girl. I was a Barbie girl. And so my dad knew, you know, everybody knew. Come on. It's just that my dad, you know, he literally was saying in this way, like, please, Tariq, just give me one season, please. You know, just, you know, and I saw how much he wanted it. And I saw how much it meant to him. And he knew who I was, you know, deep down inside. And I knew who I was deep down inside. But this was a moment as a child where I saw this was the bid, right? This was the deal. Go and do this and you can get love, acceptance, and attention from me. And I felt like, I didn't really felt like I had a choice. All my other brothers and siblings played sports. Even the girls played sports. So they kind of looked at me like, the girls and the boys play sports. Why aren't you playing sports? But I'm like, I don't want to play sports. I don't want to do that. You know, it was just me being me. And I saw that, okay, in this category with my queerness, I have to show up to the masculine things if I want to be accepted, if I want to be loved. That's that, right? That's the queerness. Some of you don't know me, but I've went through so much homelessness, so much trauma. I honestly didn't even go through that much homelessness. Like I didn't grow up through like homeless. It's a long story that you're going to hear pieces of in this podcast and at different moments. But at some point, some of you may have saw the video on YouTube, but my mom, who I grew up with, who was my stepmom, but she was my stepmom from like pretty much birth all the way up to sixth grade. She left us and it was very abrupt. And that was my, I lived with her. I knew her more than I knew my biological mom. Don't get me, look, that's, she was there. Like she, but I, she was my day-to-day mom, if you get what I'm saying. She left. And so when she left, life just went for a whirlwind. And that's when we lost the house. We were homeless. I lived with my grandma. My other siblings got split up. We all lived in different places. And then it was like every year it was something. Either we got kicked out or, you know, it was a fight or, you know, I just was juggled around homes throughout middle school. And every place that I went, I felt like I had to be a different version of myself in order to have shelter. Like at my grandma's house, you know, I'm not going to talk too heavy on my family, okay? Because I love them and they're sensitive as all families are. And I want them to know that I'm sharing my experience to help people. I always have this problem because right now I'm yearning for a connection with my family. And I'm always scared that by me owning my story and owning my experience, I won't have them. Because even though I know I can do that after doing the work, I'm afraid that it comes off the wrong way to those who may not hear it the same way. But I'm here to let you know, look at me using every moment for inspiration, that your story is yours and your experience. Feelings are not an opinion. Feelings are not right or wrong. But I'm saying all this to say that when I was at my grandparents' house, at that time, my grandma wasn't the nicest to me, okay? And it wasn't a comfortable situation for me. I don't even want to go into that, child. But when I lived in my grandma's house, I felt like I had to be the cleanest and most obedient and respectful and don't speak your mind. Don't, you know, just do what you're supposed to do. Go to school. Be respectful, right? And then when I couldn't live there anymore, my dad got this girlfriend. And the first day I met her, I moved in. And about a couple months later, they broke up. And I pretty much begged her to stay there because if not, I was going to be going with my dad and we had nowhere to go. It was either the car or my sister. My sister had an apartment, but it was like a 2-bedroom apartment and she had a roommate. So I just knew at this point I had to take matters into my own hands because I just saw my dad going through a lot. I was like, okay, child, it's time to grow up. I was 12, by the way, or 13, one of those. But anyways, when he left, I stayed. She said I could stay. So that's why, you know, I have so much love for her because she was not related to me. She had just met me 3 months before. My family had so much drama and she opened up her home and her kids. She had 2 kids to me, my dad, and he brought all my other siblings. Child, it was a lot. But after he left and my siblings and it was just me at that house, I really don't want to get into that too much right now. But long story short, every day when I came home from school, I would go straight to my room and I would be on my laptop every day because I didn't want to remind her that I lived there. I felt like every day she looked at me and I was a reminder of my dad. I was a reminder of the drama. I was a reminder of her decisions that she may not have liked in that relationship and bringing my whole family into her home and her kids. And I don't know, I could see the resentment just growing. And I could just see her irritation with me from simple things as being in her kitchen. And so I would try to make myself invisible. And I could tell that she appreciated that. I don't know, maybe that's the story I'm telling myself. But I could feel the appreciation that I was out of her hair. I stopped asking her if I could like do things. I stopped asking for money to go to the mall. I just stopped being a child. Because honestly, For one year, it was like I was her child. And I think my parents made it very hard for her. And she was like, this is not even my kid. I'm taking care of y'all kid. You know, and I think I got so much of that. And so I just started being invisible. And so that was another way that I got shelter. I got love. I got, you know, things that I needed in this world. And at some point that, you know, me going to my room was not enough. Okay, so I did get kicked out after 2 years, but it wasn't in my face that she kicked me out. Like, it wasn't like a come in here, let's talk about this. It was like a weekend in the summer or something. And I asked my aunt, I was like, hey, can I come up for a week? You know, I would love to come to DC and just hang out with, you know, my cousins and blah, blah, blah. She was like, of course, you know. So I got a bus and I was on my way to Maryland, DC area, DMV, to just have a week off in the summer. This was another way also of me trying to get out of her hair, because they were doing something in their family, the person whose house I was staying at. And I knew she didn't like me just being at the whole house on my own, but she didn't communicate these things. Like, I had to figure these things out on my own. And that's a conversation later we're going to have when we have our deep talks. And because it's about hypersensitivity. And when, as a child, when you don't get the things you need and when you're not getting the love and attention that you need, you start noticing the smallest things, because those are indicators and ways that you can find to get love for yourself. Some of you are familiar with this, but I just knew that she didn't like me at the house when she wasn't there. And she didn't want me at her house in general. So I just always found a way to just get out of her hair. And on the way to my aunt's house, I got a text pretty much saying I couldn't come back. Boom. So now I'm at my aunt's house and I'm homeless. When I got to my aunt and uncle's house, I love my aunt and uncle dearly. But when I asked my uncle if I could stay there, yes, I had to ask because my dad would not ask, but I had to ask. But when I asked him, and my uncle's a jokester. See, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. My therapist says I do this thing that every time I say how I feel, I give an explanation or I give the soft side of it for the other person, because I had to growing up. Otherwise, I would be invalidated. Because honestly, I feel like when I say this, I would be invalidated. You know, like maybe my family would hear it and they would feel bad about it, so they would invalidate me about it. But it's like, it did happen. And it's like, it happened. It happened. Sorry, I had to take a moment, because every time that I realize that I'm taking control and I'm taking ownership of my story, I need to really sit in that. And it happened. So much gaslighting and guilting happens in my family that at some point in my life, I even wondered if the biggest traumas even happened. I remember calling my mom and asking her, and she just wept. And so that's why it's important that when you know your story, don't let anybody take that from you, baby, because it's your experience and there's no right or wrong. You're not crazy. And so, yes, let me continue. When I asked if I could stay there, the response was, and this is not verbatim, this is just the realm of how, what he said was pretty much, okay, you got good grades. You don't be in drama, do you? And you're going to clean, right? You know, you clean, you ain't dirty or nothing, right? Okay. I felt like I was in an interview for a job. I was 15 and I'm homeless. And I've been kicked out of several homes. And I'm coming to another one. I'm vulnerable. I'm scared. I'm 15. And I'm just like, please, can somebody take care of me so I can just go to school? I'm like, just give me. And I remember saying this to my uncle. Just give me 3 years. I'll be out of here. I'll go to college. I was so mad at the world that I was a child. I had no respect for any of the adults around me, because I'm like, how? How are y'all letting this happen? I'm 15 with a basket going around Virginia, in Maryland, trying to find somewhere to live. I was pissed. I was so mad at the world. But fast forward, they gave me so much that I can never say thank you enough for. And that's the truth, but that's also me trying to blanket just in case they hear this and they get in their feelings, to be very honest with you. I'm be very honest with you, because I don't want them to think I'm like... Stop, Tariq. Let your feelings just exist here. Stop apologizing for your story. Stop apologizing for your story. That's how you felt. That's how you felt. And that's what happened. You're not making this up. Hey, it's me again. I know you're enjoying the show, but I want to keep it ad-free the way it's been. That's the way it should be. And when you subscribe to this show, you're not only supporting your own healing journey, but you're helping us produce this show so that we can continue healing millions. Check out the description so you can find out how you can leap into healing and subscribe to the show today. But the whole point of me sharing that story of me being juggled through homes and all of that, and that was just some of them, to share and to show how everywhere I went for love, acceptance, and just space, I had to provide something. I had to be something. And so it was very hard for me when I got online and I started to share my story and I started to just share my experience, and people just accepted me. Oh no. My mind didn't process it like that. It wasn't like I'm coming online and I'm just me and y'all just love me. I was like, no, y'all love me because I'm smart. Y'all love me because I'm a biology major, you know, when I was in college. Y'all love me because I'm eloquent. You know, it was never about me. I never attributed it to me. I never put that value to me. I put the value in what I was doing, what I was providing to the world, not who I am. And so that's why over the years, as I started to grow and get more recognition, I'm thinking, I have to keep this up. I have to be better. I have to be smarter. And so what happened was, I just started getting really nervous to sit in front of a camera because I'm like, what if I don't drop a gem? What if I'm not better than the last time? Am I going to get kicked out? I'm getting emotional. That's really the feeling. It was like, am I going to get kicked out? Am I going to lose love? Am I going to lose that acceptance? Am I going to lose these numbers? Am I going to lose these subscribers? Am I going to lose this apartment? Am I going to lose everything I worked for? Am I going to lose the fear of loss? The fear of loss. And so when I come here to start this podcast, one, I had so much planned. I wanted to do visuals for this podcast so it could perform better. But every time that I thought about something visual, I got so anxious. I got so anxious because in that camera, when it has to do with YouTube, on that camera, I'm still in this, I don't know how to explain it. I'm still in the space where I'm putting on. I'm turning on in front of the camera. And it's subconscious. It's so funny. One of my friends just told me, he was like, you're so funny every time like I start taking a video or something. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, every time I start doing a selfie or taking a video, like you change like your whole aura. And I said, wow. And he's not the first person to say that. I just always felt like I had to be something on camera to be accepted, because everywhere else in my life, I had to be something to be accepted. And so God and my ancestors, my guides, I call them my GGA, God, my guides, and my ancestors. That's who I pray to, who I get my words from, who I get my direction from, who I get everything from, responsible for everything I have. They kept telling me podcast, podcast, podcast for so long. I was like, okay, so it has to be really big, you know, like people are expecting, this from me. They've been expecting it for years. It has to be this big, grand opening, you know, like, and so I started ordering all this stuff. I got an interior designer that fell through. Then I was like, it's okay, I'll decorate it myself. That took forever because I also got diagnosed with ADHD, and it's very hard. It got worse. And I think graduating college and coming into adulthood triggered it to get worse, because it's when you wake up and you really are in charge of your day that you realize, oh, I have ADHD. So with that, it was hard to decorate. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just get a set designer. I got a set designer. That fell through. I just kept holding off this podcast. Because I just thought it had to be perfect. Because I thought that's what it had to be in order for it to be good. In order for it to be accepted. And in order for me to be accepted. But thanks to God and a lot of meditation and therapy. And connecting with my inner child and reflection and just space made by me, friends, and family. I've finally found the value in myself. And I finally understand that I am the reason for all of this. It's because of me. It's because I'm being me. On YouTube, I started being me. And then at some point, I started putting it on because I thought I had to because I was afraid. The fear crept back in, right? The inner child in me was like, no, Tariq, we have to be perfect or they'll leave us eventually. And so I started putting on, you know, perfect me every time I got on camera so that I would not lose anything. But over the months, I started trying to let go of that. It's been very hard for me to do on YouTube. I try so hard and every day I get better. But it still gives me a lot of anxiety. And so that's why I think God called me to podcast, because he's trying to, I've been in a moment of return to self. And I think that God is trying to get me back to just getting here and talking, have the conversation, Tariq. I made you start talking on camera because of what you were talking about was going to help a lot of people. You know, you were just being you. I knew all you needed was an iPhone 5C, plop it up, record it, post it. That's what you did for years. And that's what got you here. Not because you were perfect. Not because in every video, it blah, blah, blah. And it was you. And I forgot that because I got so scared. Life got really scary at some point for me where everything was scary. My inner child literally got in the front seat and was driving. And I was in the back crying. My inner child, all of his fears became new again, fresh again. And I was afraid of anything that could take something away from me. I was afraid of anything of risk. I just watched Brené Brown and she reminded me, vulnerability is defined as anything that comes with uncertainty, risk, or emotional exposure. And anything having to do with that on a grand scale, like online or on a video, just anything, it scared me. Because I was afraid of losing so much. Because I was losing so much in that time period. But God kept telling me to get on the podcast. Because on this podcast, it's just a mic and it's just you, baby. Just talk. I think that this was God's way of reminding me, it's not you being perfect. It's you being you. And I think through this podcast, I am valuing myself. And I'm relearning that this is just, it's just me. It's just me. I don't have to be anything but myself. And I just show up. You don't even have to write an outline, Tariq. You see today, you didn't even write an outline. And this is going to be greatness. And this is going to help some people. God is telling me to pull away from YouTube and the cameras right now. Not because it's the end, but because I need to bring you back to you. Because every time you get on that camera, you turn it on. And when you turn that on, you turn off yourself. And that's not what got you here. It's not that face that you put on. It's who you are on the inside. And I know you're capable, but I need to take you out of that real quick. I need to remind you. And so he brought me on this mic for me to remember that it's in me. It's in my words. It's who I am. So that I get used to this, I start valuing myself. It's creating a new norm. You only can create a new norm when you wake up every day and you choose to do it. If you wake up Monday and do it, Tuesday and do it, Wednesday and do it, Thursday and do it, on Friday, you can be like, oh, I do this every day. You know, because it's a norm. So when I wake up every day or every other day or whenever I do these podcasts and I get on this mic and I just be me and I just talk and I just have the conversation, that conversation through this process, I'm going to learn and grow my value for myself. Because I'm making a norm of it. Like, you're just showing up and being you, and look at that, greatness came. So that at some point, I'm going to wake up and be like, oh, I don't even need that outline, girl. Let's just turn that camera on. We good. And I could just be me on camera again. I'm so happy. Because I don't even know how this went. this podcast I just recorded. I talked, and I hope it meant something. I hope it did something. I hope it was monumental. I don't even care, because I'm just happy that I'm showing up and I'm allowing myself to just be me, and I'm not overthinking it. I'm making space for me, and I'm taking care of me. And through that, you know, through my experiences, that's what I want to do on this podcast. Through my experience, I want to share it with you all, you know, like, so we can grow together and have that conversation, that hard conversation, that conversation that nobody else wants to have, the conversation you're scared to have, the conversation you've been waiting to have, that conversation. That's what this podcast is about. And I think I needed to have that conversation with y'all, because to be very honest, I have been me on camera for the past 2 years, but you can see the fear. And I think a lot of you guys have been able to see the fear. And that's why when you don't see it, there's been some videos where I really just showed up. Like, I was really vulnerable and I was like, look, I'm really anxious. I comfort myself in the video. And you're like, I'm so happy to see this, Tariq, because it's been a lot, y'all. But yes, I have so much planned for this podcast. This was really just an introductory. Who cares? You get what I mean. To the podcast. And I'm just excited to be me again with you guys. And I thank you guys. And I hope that you will continue coming back to have that conversation with me here. It will be sometimes alone, like today. It will be sometimes with guests, some celebrity, some family, some friends, some influencers, some, you know, strangers. You never know. Some exes. Yeah, we have some things planned. I just want to have that conversation. Like, I want to be really honest, vulnerable, and I want to transform here. I don't want to just get on a mic and just talk about bacon sandwiches, girl. Like, we can do that too. I love bacon. Haven't eaten a lot of it lately. But, okay, anyways. ADHD, sorry. But I want to have that conversation here. I'm a mess. This is what I sound like without an outline, okay? So if it was scattered, that's me. And I hope that you accept it. And I hope that you come back every week to have that conversation with me. My name is Tariq Ali. Please like, comment, and subscribe. No, if you could like this podcast and rate it, please rate it. Please. I'm new to this. Okay. So I'm learning. Rate the podcast. Share it and download it. Yeah. And put notifications on. Okay. I love you guys. Thank you. And yeah, bye. Hey, it's Tariq Ali. A little birdie told me that you wish there was more frequent uploads to help you in your healing journey, and that you didn't have to wait months for the next podcast episode. Well, now you don't have to. Check the description to find out how you can leap into healing, the subscriber edition of this podcast, where you will get weekly episodes. Yep, you heard me. Weekly episodes. These exclusive subscriber-only episodes will include tools and tangible practices and methods I've come up with to help you heal and grow, reviews of the main show episodes for messages you may have missed, and even more bonus episodes like affirmations, mindset shifts, and Ask Tariq. Check out the description so you can find out more and start leaping into healing today.